Thank you, Blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, June 17th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwe police refuse to grant political activists permission to stage a peaceful protest over the deteriorating economic situation in the country.
The ban is unconstitutional and it is not going to deter us. We are going to disregard it as the residents or citizens of Zimbabwe. We have got the constitutional mandate to demonstrate.
A public parliamentary hearing on the local government laws amendment bill degenerates into a fist fight in Harare again.
ZANU-PF actually sees this bill as a thing which is supposed to be in their favor, not in the favor of the public.
And soccer teams clash once again in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Police in Zimbabwe's Maswingo town have declined to give political activists and church leaders permission to stage a protest tomorrow against President Robert Mugabe's alleged failure to properly run the country and the current social and economic problems affecting millions of people. But the organizers of the protest say they are going ahead with the public march, a move that is said to pit the police with agitated local people. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports from the provincial capital.
A letter written to the conveners of the protest, signed by acting officer commanding police in Maswingo District, Superintendent Philip Ncube, states that the demonstration has not been granted by the police. In the letter, Superintendent Ncube said, without giving specific reasons, that the peaceful procession was not granted in terms of Section 26 of the Public Order and Security Act. This section of the Constitution relates to consultations, negotiations, amendments of notices and conditions with respect to processions, public demonstrations and public meetings to avoid public disorder. Section 26, subsection 3 clearly stipulates that a gathering cannot be sanctioned by the police if a regulating authority receives credible information on oath that there is a threat that a proposed procession, public demonstration or public meeting will result in serious disruption of vehicle or pedestrian traffic, injury to participants in the procession, public demonstration or public meeting or other persons or extensive damage to property or any other public disorder. Superintendent Ncube and Maswingo Provincial Police spokesperson Inspector Charity Mazula declined to comment. Community Tolerance and Reconciliation Development Advocates Officer Zelana Mzorozi said the police move was a violation of residents' right to demonstrate.
The ban is unconstitutional and it is not going to deter us. We are going to disregard it as the residents or citizens of Zimbabwe. We have got the constitutional mandate to demonstrate. We are going ahead. What is important now is for us to make sure that people are going to flood in the streets to go and demonstrate. I would like to take this opportunity to say to the residents of Maswingo, let's come out tomorrow in our numbers and demonstrate against the rampant unemployment, poor social service delivery, corruption, poor road maintenance.
Maswingo United Residents and Repairs Alliance Oromura Director Anozam Guti added that they have handed over the matter to the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights.
They have already made some urgent applications to the courts of law. And whilst the lawyers are busy with that process, we are busy mobilizing our members so that they will come in their numbers tomorrow. We are not going to be stopped by any act of violation of our rights.
Attorney Martin Mureri of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights confirmed that they are taking the matter to court.
Yes, they gave us instructions to the effect that we should appeal against the decision of the regulating authority for prohibiting them actually to proceed with their procession penciled for the 18th day of June 2016. That is indeed after they were being abandoned. We are approaching the magistrate court in terms of Section 27B of the POSA, Chapter 11.3. 17, which says that any convener actually who is aggrieved with the decision of the regulating authority should appeal to the magistrate court sitting in the district where the procession is supposed to take place.
Other organizations taking part in the public process include the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, Zimbabwe Human Rights Association, Mashingo Residents Trust, Mashingo Human Rights Trust, Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Christian Church Action Trust of Zimbabwe, Christian Alliance and Christian Voices International of Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Gandri Maramba.
Thanks, Gandri. In Harare, meanwhile, political activists were arrested recently for attempting to stage a 16-day protest at Africa Unity Square and were slapped with a bail of $1,000 each, have been released from remand prison. The activists, who include Patson Zamara, the brother of abducted political activist Itai Zamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square, and Linda Masarira of Women in Politics Alliance, are demanding the resignation of President Robert Mugabe and government's immediate response to problems gripping the country. Studio 7's Mabelas Mhlanganya, who here speaks with the released activist's attorney, Obey Mashaba.
In total, there's 15 people were arrested in the Africa Unity Square, demonstrating and protesting against the corruption by the government of Zimbabwe and the deterioration in the economy in general. We went to court and applied for bail. They granted bail, but asked to pay an amount of 1,000 each. They could not raise that amount, and as such, they remained incarcerated until yesterday when we went back to the same court and made an application for variation of the bail amount from $1,000 to $200. The court agreed with us, and eventually they were allowed to pay $200 bail so that they would get their freedom. The bail money was raised yesterday, and we paid it today.
And who donated the amount that was able to now lead to the release of these people that have been in jail for quite some time?
We made pleas to the members of the public in general through media, social network, and there came one good Samaritan, an individual whose identity should remain undisclosed. We refused that he be identified by the name to the members of the public. Suffice to say that he managed to pay the bailman for all the activists who are in prison.
That was attorney Obey Shaba speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. In a related development, at least 20 youths are drawn from various political parties and civic society organizations under the banner of Tajamuka Sesijikile, who were yesterday arrested for commemorating the Day of the African Child, have all been released without charge, but not after a thorough beating by police. Charles Nyoni of Occupy Africa Unity Square, led by abducted political activist Itai Zamara, told Studio 7 some of the youths were taken to hospital today where they were treated and discharged. Meanwhile, violence broke out today at a public hearing on the local government amendment bill in Harare for the second day. The same clashes took place at Rainbow Towers yesterday. All hell broke loose when a woman made her contribution, saying she's not happy that the bill will give the minister too much powers to dismiss councillors and local authority officials. Harare City Councillor Thamsan Ngahadebe, who was at the meeting, told Studio 7 that ruling party activists leapt to their feet charging towards the woman, but she was saved by members of the public who rushed to her defense, and a fist fight ensued.
Very well, because we ended up having chaos whereby when the parliamentary committee were asking the views from the public members to speak, when the second speaker, when she mentioned her views, they ended up, there was people now stood up against her, wanted to beat her up, but she had actually given that the way she feels the bill is that the bill is not fair, because it doesn't give certain principles which were given by the constitution when it was written. And it actually showed that ZANU-PF actually sees this bill as a thing which is supposed to be in their favor, not in the favor of the public. And whoever speaks against it is sort of actually an enemy for now.
So were there any injuries?
Today, when there was chaos, of course, and the lead words spoken was actually helped out to go safely away following what happened yesterday at the HICC, where one of the speakers were beaten up.
And that was Harare City Councillor Thamsanqa Hadebe. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. About 60 young Zimbabweans taking part in the Mandela Washington Fellowship this year left the country for the United States yesterday to do entrepreneurship and leadership studies under the prestigious program. The six-week learning fellowship was founded by U.S. President Barack Obama to empower African youth. Studio 7 reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached one of the fellows, Bernard Juru.
It's my first time going out of Africa, so I really am excited. And I can't wait to be in America, meeting other young African leaders, getting a chance to network, to share our own experiences, to share on how we can improve. So it's something that words can't really describe.
Tell us more about what you do.
I work for a company called Mozilla Hub, a subsidiary of Econet, and it's in particular Econet Education. So Mozilla Hub is under Econet Education, where it's an innovation and technological hub, which was set up to foster innovation and entrepreneurship amongst youth. So we train young people in terms of digital skills. So they're learning how to build mobile applications, they're learning how to build websites. So over the past 2 years, we've trained over 1,000 young people in Zimbabwe across the country, Bulawayo, Gweru, you know, all the major cities, all the small towns, you know, and so forth, to build these applications. So when they build these applications, they become freelance entrepreneurial developers under Mozilla Hub. So that is the work we are doing at Mozilla Hub.
And how do you hope to benefit from this program?
The most important thing is building relationships, networking, meeting other young people, meeting young people that have got the same interests, young people that are like-minded, you know, coming up with real solutions to the problems that we are facing here in Africa, not only in Zimbabwe, but in Africa as a whole. Now we've got an opportunity that we can sit together, we can come up together as young people, as young business leaders. We come up with solutions to the problems that our nation is facing, the issues in terms of economy, the social issues. So I really believe we can learn from all those people that we are going to meet in America. I believe they will share with us how they manage to navigate their own economic issues or the economic turbulences and everything.
That was Mandela Washington fellow Bernard Juru on the line with Studio 7 reporter Ntungameli Nkomo. Coming up, Zimbabwean artist Lamont Chitepo speaks about his music. Stay tuned. But first, we take a look at regional and international news. The former U.S. ambassador to Syria says it's highly unusual, if not unprecedented, for more than 50 State Department diplomats to sign an internal diplomatic cable criticizing the Obama administration's handling of Syria's civil war. Robert Ford, who served as ambassador until 2014, commented to VOA today after a document emerged from the department's internal dissent channel in which 51 State Department officials call for the use of targeted airstrikes against the Syrian government. Police investigators in Joe Cox's county of Yorkshire in northern England are refusing to confirm or deny the suspected assassin of the spirited 41-year-old lawmaker may have been motivated by far-right nationalist beliefs. And on Thursday, U.S. President Barack Obama met privately with the victims' families of Sunday morning's mass shooting at a gay nightclub in Orlando that left 49 dead and 53 wounded. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. Venezuelan opposition lawmakers were recently attacked by pro-government groups as they tried to enter the electoral board headquarters to demand that procedures be completed without delays to allow a recall referendum against President Nicolas Maduro. The United States, said State Department spokesperson John Kirby, is deeply disturbed by reports that National Assembly Majority Leader Julio Borges and other opposition deputies were turned away from the National Electoral Council by police and then subsequently attacked by a group of armed supporters of the Partido Socialista Unido de Venezuela party while returning to their offices. Mr. Borges told journalists that these militant pro-government groups acted with total impunity. They had pipes, motorbike helmets, rocks, explosive artifacts, and they used them against us. The United States condemns acts of violence designed to intimidate citizens exercising their democratic rights and calls on Venezuelan government security forces to maintain order in a manner consistent with international law and international commitments regarding human and civil rights. The clash between opposition members and militant pro-government groups came amid rising tensions in Venezuela, where falling oil prices have thrust Venezuela into a severe economic crisis and chronic food and medicine shortages, fueling protests and demands for President Maduro's departure. The United States remains concerned about the violence and the worsening economic conditions in Venezuela and joins the international community in calling upon the Venezuelan government to free all political prisoners, to respect the will of the people, human rights, the separation of powers within the Venezuelan government, and the democratic process. It is incumbent on Venezuelans from across the political spectrum to find peaceful solutions to the real economic, political, and social challenges facing Venezuela.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The annual Women of Dominion International Conference, which caters for Zimbabwean women drawn from various church denominations in the diaspora, kicked off in Delaware, USA yesterday, with participants saying they're excited to get a chance to praise God in their mother language. One of the conference participants, Edith Maoneke, tells Studio 7 she's looking forward to sharing critical ideas on many issues with young women.
It was started by a woman of God who was given a vision to start this conference, Mrs. Marvelous Love from Indiana. And a lot of people, either Zimbabweans or other denominations, other countries, are joining us at this conference.
How important is it to have such a conference, especially as women of Zimbabwe? And we also understand that you will be representing the grandmothers, Anagogo. Tell us a little bit about that.
We are really empowered. The word of God, that's all what we are teaching each other, how to pray. Stay on your knees and pray to God for everything which is a problem in your life, in your family, in the country as a whole, in the world as a whole. We empower each other on those issues. And it's very important. We always look forward for this conference every year. It's very important because we teach the young mothers, the young children, how to live, our way of living back home in Zimbabwe. It teaches us how to pray because sometimes, you see, the world is changing every day, but we don't want to throw away our roots, how we grew up, how we used to pray long back, and how we are praying today. We also embrace the way that we are praying these days, but we also want to bring the way of praying from long back.
That was Edith Maoneke, one of the participants at the Women of Dominion International Conference, speaking with Studio 7. And in sports news, Castlelaga Premier Soccer League action rose into week 10 with excitement in some quarters and chaos at one of the biggest football teams. Michael Cariati tells us what's going on.
Followers of Border Strikers are set to watch the local boys in action in their own backyard after the National Football Association of Zimbabwe approved the use of Dulibazimu Stadium for Castlelaga Premier Soccer League matches. Border Strikers have been using Maglas Stadium in Zishavane, but this has been hitting hard on them in terms of transport costs and playing in a stadium which their players were not familiar with. The team managed to pick up only 3 points in 4 matches, but things have changed now, and the club leadership is hoping to take advantage of using their own home ground to add to that points tally, starting with a win over Chapungu on Sunday. The Beitbridge community has received the news of Duliba Zimu Stadium with excitement. That is the excitement that is at Border Strikers, but not so at the Green Machine of Capes United, who travel to Sakuba Stadium to face Mutare City Rovers. Chaos is reigning supreme after the Green Machine players, the whole of this week, boycotted training, demanding that they be paid their mere salaries and outstanding winning bonuses accrued from their win over Chicken Inn. Club President Farajere this afternoon said his team has retrained to training, but was sarcastic, asking whether a delay in salary payment in Zimbabwe meant a crisis.
Are we saying we're talking about the salary that was not paid or a delay in paying a salary? It's very common with the cash situation. We're talking of a delay, and we are talking of a one winning bonus which is outstanding against the Chicken Inn. Can you call that a crisis?
Dynamos, who have been mourning following the death of 8 of their supporters, are back at Rufaro Stadium to face Ngezi Platinum Stars after picking up 6 points in the 3 games that a new coaching setup has been in charge. Assistant coach Murape Murape says players will have to justify their selection into the first team.
We can't have players who are just here just to make up numbers. Everyone is to earn his money, work for it.
Now to cricket. The disappointing Zimbabwe national team hopes to save face when they take on India in the first of their 3 T20 matches at Harare Sports Club tomorrow. The Zimbabweans were whitewashed in the 3 ODIs, and a number of their fans have vowed they will not step at Harare Sports Club again unless results start coming. Even the hardest of the team's followers believe the Chevrons are out of depth in this league and will surely lose. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
My name is Lamont Chitepo. I am a musician, a singer-songwriter, and I produce my own music. Sometimes I collaborate with other musicians.
What type of music do you play, and where exactly are you based?
I would say that my music is Afrobeat, and I am based in the United Kingdom. Afrobeats is an modern African sound. In my music, I use a lot of Shona and a lot of English. So it's a combination of Shona and English.
And where would you say your biggest audience is?
I would say that I have had support in other countries other than my own country. I've had support in Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and here in the UK. So when I'm talking about the UK, I'm talking about mainly the diaspora community. I've only recently started gaining access to the indigenous UK market, but at the moment I would say that my main audience is the UK diaspora market and the Australian and the Canada diaspora community. Girl, you know, say no matter what they say, me I no go use
you play, baby. Yeah. Girl, you know, say. Why have you not resonated in Zimbabwe?
I don't know why my music is not being played. A lot of people ask me the same questions. Why don't we know about you? I have tried my best to move the music, to market the music. But I think Zimbabwe is a very tough industry for music in terms of radio play and things like that. But I think with the coming of My Way music video, people have started to really, you know, receive the music. The problem is that I'm having to reach out to the people directly myself as opposed to the radio stations giving the music to the people. You understand what I'm saying? And this is not a problem that I myself as a musician am facing alone. I have been talking to one of my friends, Ngoni Kambarani, and he recognizes the problem with poor and support for local music, which is consistent and continues to carry on. Obviously, that's something for us to change as musicians and Zimbabweans, but at the moment, that's where we are.
You say has been your inspiration?
And my inspiration doesn't necessarily come from musicians. It comes from other great people that have managed to do things. For example, my great uncle, Herbert Chitepo, has been my inspiration. He's one of the most respected heroes in Zimbabwe, coming from a very poor village and being a fatherless child and actually becoming the first black barrister in the whole of Zimbabwe. And when it comes to music, I listen to reggae, I listen to hip-hop, I listen to R&B, I listen to pop, I listen to all sorts of different kinds of music. And I would say, in terms of a musician from Zimbabwe, I would say Oliver Mtukudzi, because he's recognized as an international artist.
And do you think having the name Chitepo has helped in any way?
Only a few people ask me if I'm related to Herbert Chitepo, but I don't think that's given me any credit at all. I think the credit is coming from the immense talent that I have and the creativity that I'm bringing out.
Have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever felt like giving up? I'm warning you, don't give up on you, no, no.
Give us a snippet of some of the music that you play and what inspired you to write that particular piece.
This song is called Mambo. It's my next coming up single. As it literally states, Makandona Ndirombe, there's a time when I was struggling and the only person that got me to rise up and to have hope is God and, you know, a lot of prayer. Makandona Ndirombe Baba, Mukandi Zikinura. Makandona Ndirombe Baba, Mukandi Yambusa. Mambo, Mambo, do kurumbizai mari verenga.
Thanks there to Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye. She was speaking to musician Lamont Chitepo. And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners about conflicts over the local government laws amendment bill, giving the relevant minister powers to dismiss councillors and local authority officials. If you wish to join the show, you can send us a message or number on our WhatsApp number 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. And now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabwe police refused to grant political activists permission to stage a peaceful protest over the deteriorating economic situation in the country. And a public parliamentary hearing on the local government laws amendment bill degenerates into a fist fight in Harare. Join us at 7 every evening for news in 3 languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. For more on our top stories, you can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at the following number 001-202-465-0318. Now, stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ndunga Melinkomo. This is Chris Gande in Washington wishing you a happy Father's Day on Sunday. Good night, Zimbabwe.